Holmes, and here he is with me. How are you, Rick, today? How are you?
Hi, Kathy. Hi. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty good. I hear that you've 40 years under your belt. That's really good to know. And log homes.
Well, I kind of fell into it. Been raised in Northwest Montana, then timber country, then come to Salt Lake, and my family was into construction. Next thing you know, I'm mixing log homes and construction together, and mm-hmm. we got off and running a long time ago, the 70s, 60s. No, wait, I can't even remember, 80s.
Oh, really?
I think it was in the 70s I licensed the name.
But you started in the 80s, and then you're, you know, 80 seems a long time now. It used to not be.
But... It does. Yeah, goes flat, goes fast.
Yes, it does. And so tell me the difference between a stick home and a log home. You go for it.
There's different ways to look at it, as in cost or energy efficiency or resale value, things like that. It costs about the same as a standard home, the way we do them. So mm-hmm. per square foot, it'd be about the same. We just do the walls out of logs, interlocking logs, and we're all FHA HUD approved. So the loans and the marketing and the resale is all there. Everything's stamped and graded material. And we deal with a lot of the do-it-yourselfer program here in Utah. That's a way of life, is big families, and everybody likes to do them together. So it took off there. Mm-hmm. Resale value. Years ago, there was an article in Better Homes and Gardens that said the average log home is 17% higher resale value than a standard conventional house. Energy efficiency. The logs are one of the best things there is for it. The only thing better than solid wood for insulation is styrofoam. And they're both, what they got in common there is they're full of trapped air. The styrofoam is not as bulletproof or fireproof as a solid log. And logs are regrowable, renewable, reusable. So it's a good product. And it's kind of a Western house. It's kind of a something with atmosphere. We do a lot of them, the high-end homes, either up in like Whitefish, Montana for the, I call them the movie star type people, but they're, you know, those people all want them. And then a lot of stuff up in the Park City area, they all like that stuff up in there. So mm-hmm. Colorado, Steamboat, things like that. So they're popular that way, but that's about the difference between them. The log homes are more energy efficient, a lot more energy efficient. Mm-hmm. And resale value is a little more. And if you're going to do one on your own, or we specialize them to be user friendly. So we try to do packages and get to know you a little better, see how much building experience you have. Mm-hmm. And then we can go into an easier home, like a one-level home with a truss roof system, or we can get into the two stories, and we can get into the big high-end stuff with all the round log beams, roof structures, all the log bay windows, and all the walkout basements and stuff out of log and rock. So we help you design them. Plans, blueprints, engineering, and ship them all over the world, most of them within 500 miles of Salt Lake City.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I noticed that you've got a big, beautiful, most of your homes are, I noticed in Park City and Midway, that are absolutely gorgeous. And you, especially I used to live up in Jeremy Ranch in Park City, Utah, and most of those homes you build, and they're still standing and reselling and still standing. And same thing in Midway, Utah, too. A lot of the homes are still there that you built.
We've done a lot of them up there in that Homestead area, Heber area, mm-hmm. and around the Park City area. Downtown Park City, they're not allowed, but all around it. You know, I did one for the owner of Deer Valley up at the top up there. Mm-hmm. And with Summit County and Wasatch County up in the mountains of Utah, a lot of I give up counting around 2,000 homes. That was 80s or 90s.
You know, I see the stick homes and they go up so fast, and then I see your log homes. They take a little longer, but not that long. But they look more solid. They look more like they'll hold the heat. and keep the cold out and the cool in the summer.
They do. Wood is traded on a U value, not an R value. The Pink Panther invented the R value for his little fluffy stuff, and that's not very airproof because it's the same stuff used for your furnace filter. So air flows through it. The solid wood is solid, like a rock or a brick or concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So they rate solid material on U values, and they rate the fluff and hollow spaces on R values. So they are more energy efficient.
Mm-hmm.
There was something else that I was going to say that you touched on.
There was the seam that you put in between the logs looks pretty fascinating,
well,
too.
What we've done that nobody else wants to mess with, or they can't do it, is we advertise the world's strongest interlocking wall system. And what we do is we use two species of wood, Douglas fir and lodgepole pine, are some of the firmest and strongest. And it grows out here in the West, and we use that for our material. We mill our logs when they're dry. It's hard on the milling equipment. We have to sharpen our equipment twice a day. But by milling dry wood, it's harder to do. But all the warping or twisting or movement in the logs pretty well take place. When it hits 6% moisture content, we mill it. Kiln drying is 19% or less. So we're a third of kiln dried when we mill. So they're bone dry.
Mm-hmm.
And then we glue our logs together. Our skid is tight and precise, and the notches, the saddle notches, interlocking.
Mm-hmm.
And then the skid is the Swedish coat saddle notch. And we glue the homes together, then spike them together tight. And then the glue dries. The glue is stronger than the wood, so we don't get the settling that way. I've done up to 4-story buildings. Most people only want to do a 1-story building because they get several inches of settling. They allow for that during the construction with special bolts. They lower the house as it ages, or they look above the windows and doors. You'll see a big gaps up there, 6, 8 inches, 10 inches sometimes, for the house to settle down around the windows and doors. We don't have to worry about that anymore.
Wow. That's good.
It's a good system. And I remembered what I was going to tell you when you talked about the homes you're seeing nowadays. I had one of them appraised a couple, 3 years ago, and they wrote it up as a 22-year-old home on a 30-year life expectancy. And I asked them, I says, why are you calling them a 30-year life expectancy? We tell people, we guarantee them for 1,500 years, because there's log homes in America, older than America, being used, and there's log homes in Europe over several hundred years old. And so today we build them better foundations, better roof systems. We put better porches and coverage on them, better log oils. We can get them to go 1,500 years, we suspect. But why are you calling them a 30-year life expectancy? And so I went to our engineers here in Salt Lake City, Epic Engineering, and I asked Adam, why do they say that? Are you building homes for 30 years now only? And he hesitated and says, well, we hope to get 50 out of them. And I says, why are they doing this? And he says, well, I can't remember how he said it, but the metropolitanizers, the people who decide all this stuff in suburbia, United States, is figured in 30 years, the house should be worn out and it should be taken down, a strip mall or apartment buildings or multi-units going in there. That's the way the populations are going nowadays. So they don't really need them to go over 30 years.
Oh,
that was kind of scary to me.
Yeah, that is scary. Because they put them up so fast now. And I'm like, I remember how a home would be built. Just getting it built and everything take 4 to 6 months. Now they do them in, 4 to 6 weeks.
I've had some people homes have built here in between Provo and Salt Lake down there where it's booming, and $400,000 homes, 1 year old, and they're concrete in their basements, all cracking up and everything. And it was one of the biggest name builders in the valley here that builds those by the thousands a summer. But they just don't have to do that anymore. They don't really care. What can you say?
I know. I got into some homes, especially when they do the parade of homes, and I look at the quality, and they're not good anymore. It's like, this looks cheap, you know?
Sad but true. It's all around making money and selling the home and getting the job done, so everything's fast. On conventional construction, if the guy digs the hole crooked, the footing guy straightens it out. If the footing's crooked, the cement forms would straighten that out when they pour. If the foundation's crooked, the framer shims the floor up and makes it level. If the framing is all boogered up, then the sheetrocker comes in and covers that up. And if the sheetrock's messed up, the taper and the texture guy, he covers that up. It's a whole cover-up process. With log home construction, that's finish work from the day you start. I have to get after the guys wearing black boots on the job, climbing up and down the walls and getting the waffle marks all over the walls that we got to clean off later, because that's finish work. You can't just throw a log down in the dirt, walk around on it, and put it in a wall. You got to take care of them. So we try to make sure that they understand all that, and it makes a faster job. But yeah, it's different construction, but the home is a lot more character to it, soundproof and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. You have your display home, and it's been there for years and years.
I don't say things like that. I remember building that 30 years ago, and it's still solid as a rock.
Yes. The windows, when you're talking about how the windows and some of them, they shift.
It's got obsolete aluminum windows in it back when they were the new pad. We put a couple new vinyl ones in there, wood ones in there to show people, but they're still good windows. No settling, no breakage, something like that. So, yeah, that little building. For people to come and look is pretty solid. 32 years old this year.
Wow. Unbelievable. Yeah, and the homes too up in Park City and Midway and yeah, of course Heber, but they're beautiful. They're still standing, and of course now they're worth like $1 million now. But you know, they want so much for them. But they're beautiful. But I got a question. Once you get a log home, how do you take care of the outside? Do you have to have it sprayed like so many years?
One of my pet peeves is log oil. Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to sell a log oil, and everybody tells you how good it is and how many years it's going to last. And when it doesn't do that, you call them up. They all read off the same card. Excuse me, I bet you didn't ply it right. You didn't do it the right time of year. You didn't wait long enough between coats. It was too cold. It was too hot. It was too damp. It was too wet. It's always your fault that these log oils don't hold up more than very few years. Linseed oil is the best thing you can put on the exterior of wood. It's made from flax seed, mm-hmm. and it's flexible. It breathes with the wood. Wood breathes night and day, hot and cold. It shrinks, it contracts and expands, and wet and cold, hot and dry, summer, winter. And anytime you put some oils on that, if it's a hard oil, it has a tendency to crack and flake off. If it's a petroleum base, which they don't use much anymore, a petroleum goes into the wood, but oil floats. So when it gets wet from sprinklers or driving rain, it floats it out and it's gone. And the pitches and the saps, when we're working in the woods in the timber business, you get covered with sap and pitch all the time. And the best way to clean that off is chainsaw gas or gasoline and just wipe it off. It breaks it down. Mm-hmm. Petroleum breaks down the resins in pines, the saps and the pitches and stuff. And that's what Mother Nature gives one to protect itself, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And here you are pouring oil on it to log oil it, and then that just rinses out. And you're in worse condition if you left it alone. Mother Nature will leave it alone. Mm-hmm. So linseed oil on the outside is your best. Now, with that being said, everybody's got their own colors. They want to do it. They want it just right. And so they'll mix and match, and they'll buy their oils and put them on. But, if they get out in the sprinklers or the rain drives down on them, it washes it out in several years, and it's got to be done again. Mm-hmm. But linseed oil on this house, it's 32 years old. We just log oiled it last spring. Mm-hmm. And we actually just put the color over the old linseed oil. The linseed oil that was on it has a tendency to age and turns darker for a while, and then it turns silver. And so we went over it and put the color on it, but we're actually log oiling the linseed oil. It's still on there. Little droplets are still on there, mm-hmm. where it's protecting the wood.
What if you live in the climate of Washington State where it rains constantly, but you love that log home look with the beautiful trees around? And so what type of
Washington is full of log homes in Oregon, uh-huh. and Canada, Alaska, Yellowstone Park. Mm-hmm. Talk about earthquake proof. Look at Yellowstone Park, the Yellowstone Old Faithful Inn there, 7 stories high, a log structure, mm-hmm. over 100 years old, I think now. And log homes are very earthquake proof, sound. We do a line of mobile homes too. And we build them and haul them down the road, mm-hmm. lift them up with forklifts and set them on foundations and stuff. They're pretty solid. But the weather, the thing that happens in the bear log oil products, years ago, build a log oil, and it was a really good product. I was amazed how it stayed on as long as it did. But over in Oregon, they had to discontinue it, and they just quit it altogether. But Oregon and Washington, because they have a lot of humidity over there coming off the Pacific and temperature, it turned the homes black because they put it over the wood, and somehow the wood couldn't breathe or something and couldn't get it out, and it all turned black. The wood turned black from a mold or something going on there, a chemical reaction. Mm-hmm. But so that's the only thing when you mention Oregon that I can ever think about. But there is a lot of log homes in Oregon and Washington, mm-hmm. over there too.
Mm-hmm. And then up in Utah, where it snows, up in the mountains.
Well, Utah's different weather. Yeah. We have snow, and we have the dry snow, as they call it. The skiers like it and everything. But it's really dry here because of our elevation, mm-hmm. and the dryness from the air coming across the salt flats, the Bonneville salt flats and Great Salt Lake. It's the chemical reaction happens, I think, in the snow, and it sucks all the moisture out of the snow. But we're dry here in the summer, so it beats down on it. But back to your log oils on your homes on the outside, and on the southern side, you want to use a little different log oil than you'd use on the north side, because mm-hmm. that's the one that gets all of the weather. On our homes, we try to draw a lot of, when I say draw, we draw the plans up, design engineering and everything for them on these custom homes. We put a lot of overhangs on them, and I try to keep the weather off the houses and a lot of covered porches for these mountain homes, and keep the decks covered. People like to have the big wood decks, but you can only put so much water and rain and snow on those, and it just slowly eats them away. Mm-hmm. So we try to talk them into putting porches on that stuff and roofs over the top of them. Mm-hmm. And then they last just fine, long time. I got homes out there from the early 80s, late 70s, mm-hmm. that are still in good shape. Mm-hmm. And it's because we use the species of the wood, the milling process, and then the roofs to cover and keep that weather off of them. Mm-hmm.
Which type of roof should I choose for my home?
I don't try to talk people into what kind of their dream home is going to be. Mm-hmm. I like to see what they want to do with it. And then I like to work with them as get them into a house that's in their budget, mm-hmm. whether they're doing it themselves or they're hired it done. They want a $200,000 job or a $400,000 job. We can put several different roof structures on a house, anywhere from trusses, mm-hmm. to TJIs, to rafters, to square rough sawn timber with tongue and groove decking, or round nailed beams, or round hand peeled beams. All of them is going to be different costs, mm-hmm. and then all different kinds of insulation would go in those roofs. That's where we insulate our log home. It isn't the walls, it's the roof. We got to put some urethane or styrofoam or urethane insulations on the roof and things like that to build the roof up on those deckings. With the big, thick tongue and groove deckings, we have to put another roof on top of that roof to insulate it before they put steel on it or shingles or mm-hmm. tile or whatever you want. So, and I forgot what your question was.
Just, you know, what type of roof should I use? But you just, I think you answered it.
Well, if you want the cheapest, people come to me and they say, we just need something for a cabin to go snowmobiling in. We don't want to spend a lot of money. And if they're going to do it themselves, I'm saying, let's put a truss roof on it for you. That way you just stand it up, you get it sheeted. Up here in the mountains and in the high country, you've only got like a 90-day window to start. You can't get cement trucks and you can't get big delivery trucks into these mountain sites at high elevations till about almost June. And by September, October, you need to start pulling out of there because the snow starts getting ready to fall. You can work to Thanksgiving and stuff, but springtime, once the snow melts, everything's muddy and they don't allow you in there with cement trucks and pump trucks and heavy trucks in the roads because it ruins those roads up in there, especially if you're crossing on Forest Service property. So you only got a short window. So if you need to do a fast home inexpensively, the truss roof is the best way to go. And then if you wanted a vaulted second level ceiling, rafters is the next best way to go for less expensive. And both of those you put in the Pink Panther insulation that doesn't do that good, but it passes code. And then if you get into the big log timber ceilings in them and stuff, the ceiling is really what builds the whole home. It's the ceiling. When you're done and looking at the home, sitting on your sofa, you're looking at the ceiling. You know, the furniture's all around you. It's a ceiling that people like.
Yeah, you know? I notice people just look up. Yeah, you go in and you're always looking up, looking at the view. And then you go down, but you still look up. You like that.
Right. It's nice ceiling that makes the home. That's the feeling, whether the locks in them and log handrails and log staircases and your rock fireplaces. It's all ceiling stuff. And that's where to spend your money is on something like that. If you want something that your friends come up and they just like really love it, you know, and that's what it's all about.
And you can
so that costs a little more. It's like buy a fancy car. You got, let's say, the Volkswagen Bug all the way up to the, we used to say Cadillac, but I'm a truck person. I don't know much about cars unless they're a Mustang.
But anyway, well, we're going to go into a commercial break, but I have a lot of questions to ask you, Rick, so hold on tight, okay?
Oh,
thank you. Okay, here we go.
Hi, my name is Drusilla. I am the founder and owner of Drusilla's Closet. I've created a unique system to organize your pantry and kitchen. The system also works great in various parts of your home and garage. Also in my closet, I have unique furniture, art, and decor. You can find us on Facebook, Drusilla's Closet, or call at 435-224-9266.
Hey, this is Sabrina, the owner of MathBeast EQ'd. I believe mathematics is the most important subject students should learn, but sometimes traditional schooling isn't enough. I have a classroom space in Bluffdale, Utah, or we can use Google Meet or Skype. Call me at 385-515-8600. Let's help your student become a beast at math so they can be a beast at life.
I'm Esther, co-founder of Head and Home Horse Rescue and Equine Therapy. We have a program called the Cavalry Club, where if you join, some of the benefits are you'll get to ride horses at a fraction of the cost. You'll also get awesome discounts on riding lessons and more. Cavalry Club membership is $75 per month per person. With the membership, you get a 1 hour, 30-minute riding session every week, unlimited supervised visits to the facility, discounted membership for family members who ride at the same time, discounted riding lessons, discounts for birthday parties or other events, and discounted tickets to Head and Home events. Come check us out on our website, headandhome.org, where you can see photos of our horses. Come visit us to see them live. You can reach us at 801-254-1687.
I'm sitting here with Rick Hubble. He has 40 years of log home building, and he's the owner of log homes here in Utah as well as Montana. So tell me a little bit more about some of these homes that you build, especially Tell me, you know, if I was going to come to you and build something, what type of log? I noticed you have about three different types of logs. What would be the best for in Utah?
In Utah, we use the lodgepole pine and Douglas fir, but that's kind of a standard. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. It's a wood that grows out here in the West. It's not so big back east and stuff like that. But they're solid and firm. They hold up, and they don't. They call it. You can get into some punky woods, some wood that's of course sprucey, and they rot real easy if they get sprinklers running on the side of the house, or a lot of rain or snow backing up against the house. You get problems with that. The lodgepole and Douglas fir logs hold up a lot better for that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
The size, I know they had a different type of sizes.
We can make logs from 6-inch diameter to 30-inch diameter, but the majority is 7-inch, which is about 46% more energy efficient than a standard FHA log requires. Some people go for the 9-inch, some the 10s, and some 12s, but they get so expensive for some people. The logs weigh so much, you almost have to have a lift or a crane or a bunch of people. A lot of time goes by. The houses look beautiful, whether they're out of 6-inch or out of 12-inch. And people will come out and say, oh, I want a 10-inch log. And then they'll point at that one over there and say, I like that one. What's that? And they go, that one's a 7, or that one's a 6. And they don't comprehend it. When they look at it, it looks fine to them, but they got in their mind they want a 10. And then a 10-inch would add, on an average, just say 3-4 bedroom house, 10-inch logs from a 7-inch log would add about $20,000 more.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's probably an extra semi-truck or two of weight to be packed. Mm-hmm. And things like that. So, and then the guys, one guy can pick up a 7-inch log. They're 35 to 65 pounds a log, where a 9-inch log is 65 to 130 pounds a log. A 9-inch round log weighs twice as much for the same length in a 7-inch log because it's twice as much of the wood in the log. And you're buying that insulation. Your ultimate energy efficient log is an 8-inch. They haven't been able to prove anything bigger than an 8-inch log is any more energy efficient.
Interesting. And that's interesting. You know, if I was going to build a log home, I need foundation too. Is that correct? Or could you just put it on the ground?
It's all built to code, and code requires a foundation. They go by the frost line. You've got to have a footing down here in the Rocky Mountains. Our frost lines here in the valley of Salt Lake are around 18 inches up here. In the high country, they could be down as much as 36 inches to 42 inches below. The snow in the high country, you got snow. Snow is insulation. Those Eskimos live in snow houses, and the grizzly bears and everything that hibernates is usually under the snow. Snow is insulation. But what problem is if you drive across it or the wind blows it off the ground, the frost line can go down 36 inches and get your water line. But if your footing is in the ground and it freezes, it heaves it. The frost heats will lift the house and move things around. And so they make cold makes you have a footing going under the ground. And then your building has to be 18 inches out of the ground. So you can't build wood right on a pad or right on the ground because the wood, the bacteria, the enzymes, all that stuff starts eating away at the wood. They keep it 18 inches away. So there's your secret of longevity is keep the moisture away from it and keep the splash away from it, keep the snow away from it, and keep the sprinklers away from it. And you can have a 1,500-year log building still standing. But that's what we try to do is design with the porch roofs and the plans and keep them out of the ground and step down foundations or put rock around them. Rock is nice around them.
Yeah, I see it. Yeah, I see a lot of rock. It's beautiful. Yeah. The rock, would that help keep the home?
The rock holds up to weather. You know, so if a splash
or the rain or the sprinklers. Our office is, I put a 4 foot wall, 3 or 4 foot wall around the office when I built it 30 some years ago. And it looks, it's just fine. The sprinklers run on the side of it, but the logs are up 3 feet at least, it seems like, out of the ground. So the sprinklers don't even get on the logs.
Good. That's good. Tell me, how long does it take to build a home, one of your homes?
It depends on the money. If you got a lot of money, you can get all the guys in the world there and do it over the weekend. But on the average, when I used to build homes when I was younger, I had a 4 crew, me and a couple more helpers, and then maybe one other guy with a little experience. Four of us would build a two-story, 2,000 square foot one. My best time was 17 working days for a 2,000 square foot one.
2,000 square, that is amazing.
At that point, it was ready for shingles, plumbing, electrical, and heating.
Oh, my word.
From the foundation to 17 days. I had another crew, and he built the very same package. And he had 3 guys, and he did it 19 days. And you look at how many hours he had into it with his people. And the one I did with 4 guys, they worked out almost exactly the same. Once you get a crew that knows how to do them, they go up pretty quick.
Wow. And people have, does it take a long time for all that electrical work and plumbing?
I used to be able to wire that 4-bedroom home we're talking about 20 minutes. We got up the logs about 3 logs high. I walked around, drilled holes down through them into the basement floor, drilled the hole horizontal into that hole, stuck a 15-foot piece of Romex wire through it, and had the guy in the basement grab it, pull it down, and I tied the knot in the end of it and left it there, and the wire was in the wall, and then went on to the next one. And you got all your interior walls that are hollow, so all your plumbing and electrical and heating wires all go in the hollow walls. So you only had to do the exterior log walls, so it didn't take long.
Wow.
That's... And then upstairs, you've got to be a little creative because you've got the roof structure you can run wires through, and then the interior walls. So you got to get some outlets on the walls and get some lamps up in the ceilings. You usually go up through the walls, come down on top of the beam and run it along the top of the beam, and then drill down and do a hanging light or swag light or do a light on the wall.
And it's so, ceiling fans. I mean, what about the furnace and everything that take along and putting bathrooms and kitchens?
Yeah, they got all gas furnaces in them if they're in a subdivision type setting where you have gas. Up in the mountains, they use propane furnaces. They're the same as gas. So you put furnaces in them. And you can put electric baseboards in them too, with a thermostat in each room, so you can shut the rooms off if you're not having people stay in them, and you can turn the thermostat. But what we found out on these log homes is whether you heat them with a fireplace, a wood stove, or any kind of heating, the heat always rises. And our log floor on these log homes is usually big, rough cut Douglas fir beams with that 2x6 tile roof decking on top of that. That's 1.5 inches thick. And then we put like a 3/8 weight block sparkle board on top of that. So you got like 2 inches thick floor of solid wood, soundproof and strong. But the heat in your house always rises. So it goes up and heats your ceiling. And then your whole floor on the second level, even where I lived up by Park City at 6,500 feet, my second level, I didn't have any ductwork up there. And it was always, the floor was warm, and it was always warm upstairs. It kept a wood stove going or fireplace going, and it all worked its way up the staircase. But it all rises. So I tell people, don't worry about putting a lot of air conditioning in them because you won't need that, especially in the mountains. Heating upstairs, don't worry a lot about the ductwork because all that heat goes right up through your ceiling, heats the whole second level.
But what can you do to keep it warm on the bottom floor?
You can do a furnace down there if you wanted, or electric baseboard, or wood stoves. Depends on how big it is, how much windows you've got. Your windows is your biggest heat loss in a house.
Yeah, but what about these windows that are supposed to be, you know, energy saving and et cetera, et cetera?
Well, they call them energy saving. They try to make them energy saving, but back when they were doing all this back in the 80s, we was watching this come along. But one pane of glass, if you had one pane of glass like the olden days, your R value was 1.8. Mm-hmm. Follow me on these numbers. Okay, then they doubled the glass up, and that glass, they checked it, and the R value went from 1.8, it went to 2.5 by doubling the glass. Then, if you remember the olden days, they said, let's make triple layers of glass. And they did a triple window that didn't last very long. You won't hardly see that. I've never heard of any of them around anymore. The R value of three panes of glass, one pane was 1.8, two panes was 2.5, and three panes was 3. It was only an R3. So nowadays they're doing windows. They're just two panes of glass, but they're putting a filament on them that helps reflect sun or do something. And then they're putting, they call it low E. There's a gas they put inside the window that doesn't transfer the heat. So windows, even the best windows on the market, aren't much over, like I'd say, I don't think they go over a 3, an R3 value. Mm-hmm. I'm not a window person. I shouldn't be quoting what they make. But Code only sells windows. That's Code. I mean, the stores, mm-hmm. you know, that sell windows. It's okay. The best they can get. Yeah. So windows aren't. So if you put a lot of glass in your house, then your heat bill will go up. Mm-hmm. I live up above me on the hill here in Salt Lake. A guy up there had these big glass windows in his house, and he's got a $2,200 a month heating bill on that house by keeping all glass windows, 2-3-story glass windows on his house. And it's windows, they're just always cool. In Montana, when we were raised in Montana, we heard that our windows would all frost up. You could always tell when it was 0 or 10 below or 20 below or when it hit 40 below. Like how many feet the frost line comes up the doors and how much the windows. And so, yeah, doors and windows, that you don't think about them down here. But mm-hmm. That's where a lot of heat loss goes.
I love windows, but I guess because I like the light to come in. But
right?
But I guess...
Right when the sun comes in, at nighttime, they're kind of chilly. You know, you've got to pass up against the frost line. Feels like a breeze comes in.
Yeah, but you can still get these wooden blinds, and they're amazing.
I didn't like them.
I didn't like them. I thought, I don't like these things. But man, when it got 0 below, was it last year? I loved it because I just close them and lock them up, and especially at night, and it was wonderful.
Up in the cabin up on the Canadian border next to Glacier Park, when we get their hunting season, it's like 7 below. And
seven.
I put cardboard in the windows, and had a little in the cabin, just had a little mobile home wood stove in there, little tiny thing. And that just keeps it toasty in there when the cardboard's in the windows.
Okay, guys, they're sitting out there listening in, looking to get a log home for just hunting or whatever. Yeah. Guys,
yeah,
everything's
too light. There's nothing to see out the window but white.
Just put cardboard in your windows at night.
These people live under the bindoff, they got a cardboard box, and they seem to be making it. You know?
Oh, yeah, they're homeless. But anyway, that's true, because I do use a lot of cardboard. But anyway, tell me a project that you just, oh my gosh, you just loved, you know, that you went out and you built, and it was, you know, something that you just would never forget.
Building since home. The late 80s, I had my stuff at a desk job, mm-hmm. but a couple of years ago, I was teaching my kids how to build, and so I had so we got to go up here, Utah, in the mountains, the Rockport Reservoir on top. We built one up on the top of that mountain, a custom home, and I got to work with the kids up there on that. That was kind of fun. And he changed all the way along the line. The codes were changing. The house had to change, and we were adding log dormers in the roof, the balconies, all along the whole thing. The house didn't even look like what it started out to be. But because I was on there, I could offer some suggestions about, let's put a dormer here because we got a big roof that looks kind of funny looking. Mm-hmm. So let's put a big dormer there. And the kids come up and they crawl in it and they said, I'm glad we did that. You know, the granddaughter just loves sitting in that window looking out on the lake. So that was kind of a fun one to do. But I've built some big ones. And, you know, if you're talking about beautiful ones or things like that, but all of them, I like building them. I wish I could build more of them. But I'm kind of stuck in an office in front of a desk. Computer.
Things change when you got a crew, but for anybody trying to get into the business of doing log homes, what would you suggest?
They're going to build them or sell them or market them or I'm dealing with my kids, that's what they got to decide what they're going to do. And some of them just want to sell. Some people like to build. I myself like to build, but we have to sell what we build. Plus, I have the background in logging and timber, so I kind of done it all. But I just don't know what to tell you. It depends on what kind of person you are, whether you like hands-on or you like sitting in an office, in a brick office with a computer in front of you.
I think it would be fun just to get out there with a hammer and with the wood and, you know, get out there and just put it together. You know what I mean?
I'm that way. I've always been, since I was a kid in school, my shop projects, I always went to state fairs and stuff like that. And I've always been a builder and I just was creative in that end of it. And that's what made me probably successful. Besides working 6 days a week, was the creativity of what I could do with things I build, whether it's steel or building cars or building things, furniture. It don't matter to me. I just like building stuff. Mm-hmm. So I like building, and if you like what you do, you'll be successful. That's what it's all about. Is pick a profession that you like to do. If you can find one that makes money, you're going to be better off. Money is just a byproduct of what you like to do.
So what are you going to do? Where do you see yourself being in the next, I don't know, 5-10 years in your log building?
Retired, but I'll always be busy, yeah.
I noticed that you have a big one in Montana, a big, huge home.
I got a resort. We're turning that into a big resort up in Montana and for a family reunion resort, just exclusively family reunion stuff. Big place. And it's on a lake, everything, a private lake and things like that. So I'm doing that, and that's kind of fun. But then again, I like working with people. They come in all day long and they got a budget and they got a dream and it's kind of fun to say, okay, I see what you want to do with it, but with your budget, here's some ways we can make it happen. I can throw prices and figures out on the construction because I am a general contractor also, so I can build a lot of them. So I'm not just looking at their floor plan and figuring out $45 a square foot for material. I'm figuring out pump trucks and cement trucks, driveways, access, weather conditions, snow roads, frost lines and the snow and wake and things like that. All this stuff, I'm going, you can build that house, but you're not going to be comfortable with it because you can't get into it in the winter because you put the garage doors on the north side. And then you're sliding all the snow off in front of the garage doors. So how are you going to be able to use it the way you're designing it? So I go through all that with them.
That is so neat. That's wonderful. Yeah, I really wanted, hopefully someday soon, to get a log home. And I'm hiring you if you can squeeze me into your many homes that you have scheduled.
I was listening to your Drew that does the closets and pantries.
Yes.
She lives in one of our log homes. Mm-hmm. And she just sold it, I guess. And
she's going to have another one.
Another one, yeah. And she lives in one of our log homes. She loves log homes, and she likes decorating log homes. And when I'm doing something in her neck of the woods, I'll mention it to her. She goes, I want to go up to you with that one because I know where it is and see what they're doing, because she likes working with log homes. So she likes what she does too.
Yeah. So you got to be the type of person that likes log homes. And I noticed too in her home, I've been to her home because of the, you know, Drusilla's Closet. She does amazing work. But she has her logs in some of the rooms, the log look, you know. And then some of the rooms have the regular walls. You know what I mean? Like, where you're putting
the partitions, like your hallways and your bathrooms and closets. You don't want to do those on a log. And wherever you, some homes want log walls inside. And if we do, we got to have a foundation, a bearing wall in the basement or underneath it. Log home weighs 400% more than a hollow cord wall. And so it's kind of, think like a brick home. It's a lot of weight. So if you do a wall like that, you can't run electrical and plumbing. You can't run plumbing through it. Mm-hmm. You can dish some wires through it. But we have mostly hollow partitions, just like the house that most people live in. There's separation, their closets, and their kitchens and their bathrooms. And in the kitchens, we put a stud wall behind the cabinets, so all the cabinets attach to the stud wall like a regular house, and all your plumbing and electrical, your hot cold waters and vent pipes and plumbing pipes are all behind the wall.
Mm-hmm. And how many bathrooms do you recommend in one of these log homes? Like if I was going to build one for, you know, 2,000 square feet.
If you're building one for a man, a hunting cabin, he said, I don't need no stinking bathroom. I got a back porch. If you're building one for a woman, it's like she wants a guest bathroom, she wants a master bathroom, and she wants one upstairs, and then she wants laundry. Women is the ones, they come in all day long to talk to me, and I'll say, let's just face it right now, guys, you know, we know who the boss is here, so me talking to you about what kind of floor plan you want, I'm wasting my time, let's talk to her, you know, because they'll always want to redesign their house, and they got to have their kitchens and their windows and the refrigerators and everything all one way, and the laundry's in a special way, and hall closets and storage closets and pantries and all that stuff.
Yeah, but Rick, you guys love it anyway. You come in, yeah, I like it. I like it. So, but anyway, I want to thank you so much for coming on my show and give out any information. Do you want, you know, any phone numbers, anything for anybody to get a hold of you?
Well, if they want to see what we do, just remember on the internet, just do log. We do logs, dolog.com, and you'll see our homes, you'll see our website, and you can get a hold of us.
Okay.
And keep in touch that way, or stop in and visit if you're in the Utah area.
Or in Montana, and or give you a holler up in that area. But you build homes all along the west of the United States, so.
We've done it all over the world. It's just I try to specialize within 500 miles of Salt Lake. So we're covered there with all our engineering and everything. So we pass all their codes, all those states. Mm-hmm. Montana has no building permits. So we don't have to worry about that one. But.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. Well, I'll have all this information on your profile on the Kathy Lee Parker Show. So they can also re-listen to the show as well as get all the information to get in touch with you. So I just want to thank you so much for coming on my show. And hopefully this coming summer, I'll be seeing you out there or hearing that you're out there building more homes.
We'll be doing a bunch. We're doing a big one at Beaver, another big one in Fairview down along the river, and then in Pine View Reservoir, we're doing a big one on the peninsula, Pine View Place, some big custom homes. So if you want to come see some,
mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Okay, and then you'll be doing also too, Drusilla's Closet, Drusilla's Home as well.
Yeah, we've got one of hers on the drawing board, and we're just waiting for the go on that this spring.
Yeah, she will be. I know, because she's going to be moving in March. But anyway, but thank you so much, Rick, for coming on. And you have a great evening.
Okay, thanks, Beth.
Okay, bye-bye.
Goodbye.
I'd like to thank all you for listening in to Rick Hubbell, my guest. And thank you so much for listening to the Kathy Lee Parker Show. And you have a great evening.